A pleasant good morning. Today, 7th of June, 2018. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Lisa Gill in with you, moderating until 1 p.m. We have Mr. Graham Vaughan standing in as he is going to be our temporary director of operations as we proceed today. The number to call, 431-1790 or 266-4862. Lots to talk about. I will give you a lot of opportunity today to share your thoughts. We have another downgrade, which is, as we say, expected given the decision taken by the administration. This is actually my first time back since we had a change of government, so I want to congratulate the new Barbados Labour Party administration, in particular the Prime Minister, QC, Honourable Mia Amor-Motley, MP QC, QC MP, and also to congratulate all those new senators and all the persons who've taken on those interesting positions to chart the way forward for Barbados. Also to thank you to the Democratic Labour Party who served us for 10 years. Some of us are glad that they're gone. Some of us are surprised, but just to thank them for the years that they had in service to country. And also to thank those persons who made the elections as interesting as it was. My biggest hat would go out to all of the behind-the-scenes persons. We had a lot of persons who participated in social media and made things happen, and a lot was happening, and the country felt like if we were busy, etc. So a big congratulations to those persons who worked behind the scenes. So this is Down to Brass Tacks. You can make your first call. You can share with us what your thoughts are. You can just, let's talk today. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir.
First call out?
Yes, you are.
Okay, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
Well, I hear you use the word glad just now. Are you one that glad that the past government gone?
Kind of. I'm actually glad for change, yes.
Okay. Well, I ain't going to ask you how you vote, eh? Okay. Well, that is life. Well, I'm not one that is glad that they're... I kind of glad that, in a sense, I glad and still, like, sorry, in a sense. Let me put it that way. Because I believe Mrs. Stewart should have stepped aside. And I don't know why the rest that was following him couldn't see the need for him to do that. So I kind of, like, glad in a sense that they were punished in that sense. And it's kind of sorry because a Barbados Labour Party government is not a government that I really... Because people need to understand that it ain't just about party, that it is about things like ethos. I understand things like ethos and those type of things. Like, government is like... When people ruling you or governing, it's like they're controlling your mind. Because that's what the word really come down to, mind control.
So based on what you've said, your preference then would have been for the Democratic Labour Party to continue to control your mind.
To control my mind? Okay, well, if you put it that way. Well,
No, I'm just asking. You just articulated that. So just
the thing is that's why
sure.
You see, I prefer them because they does less of that, mm-hmm. right? The Barbados Labour Party, which I consider the left-brain government, there's actually...
But I thought your name was left-brain, and therefore you would have wanted to associate yourself with the party that is aligned with your thoughts.
Okay. You see, that's what people don't understand what you're talking about, right? I talk about the left brain because that is the side that I am opposed to.
I never knew that.
Right. But I tell you, and that's why that...
Or you had a change of heart.
I had a change of heart.
Yeah.
Right. That's the side that I know. I ain't about having a change of heart. Mm-hmm. That's the side that I oppose to, so I talk about it, and when you talk about a subject, people will name you after that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how they call me left brain, right? Because I talk about it on left.
Okay.
Because it's the side that keep you in illusions, right? Mm-hmm. When they come and they say that zero is not a number, it is not. It is an illusion, but mm-hmm. still they recognize it as a theory. But people need to understand instead of arguing, mm-hmm. right? Because once you believe in certain ideas and memes, you are going to get manipulated with ideas.
So you're one of the 44,000 then that didn't feel as though this 44 plus the others, mm-hmm. that they don't feel as though this administration should have been ruling then?
I do not like a Barbarian Labour Party government. They are trying to do it right now, right? They've mm-hmm. gone to the IMF.
Right. You're not in right? support of that. Okay.
Right. If you listen to Don Marshall, mm-hmm. I would say that, right, he's a political scientist that I can understand. And you can see it ain't really got to do like the Trinidad lady called yesterday. It's not that you actually is a supporter. It's a personality thing, right?
Okay. Right? I didn't get a chance to listen this week at all.
It's a personality thing. Don Marshall is someone that I really can understand. He don't really in support. He said that, I listened to his program on CBC, he said that he was sure his bias by saying that he would more prefer a homegrown program.
But question for you, mm-hmm. we started to see some cracks in the economy since the crisis in 2008-09, and mm-hmm. there has been implementation of several homegrown plans, none of which have really done anything to lead to buoyancy in the economy. So you still are going to want to have a homegrown program in the light of the fact that it hasn't been overly successful?
I can tell you why.
No, I want you to answer my question so that we follow the thoughts that we are putting on the table.
But I can only answer your question with my explanation.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. I can tell you why the homegrown plan couldn't work. The white people in Barbados do not like the Democratic Party. And the black people in Barbados need to understand that. Because I have a friend that in her constituency, she said to me, she never see so much white people come out yet. Last election, she didn't see so much white people, but they come out in the numbers because they want back the government.
So that had implications then for the homegrown plan of the Democratic Liberal
that
Party?
That had implication because they're the black people were getting taught, but mm-hmm. they weren't trying to actually be the business people and the entrepreneurs in Barbados. So who got the money mm-hmm. calling these shots for who government they want in?
So implicit in your assumption is that of the 111,000 persons that voted for the Barbados Liberal Party, the majority of those are the white persons and the 44,000...
Not only the white people. They got the black people voting,
no, but
right?
I am trying to follow you. I'm giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts and we go through the process. You said that you would have preferred a homegrown program. I asked you about the homegrown program that was in existence for the last 10 years that didn't work. And you said you want to continue with a homegrown plan. I asked you why, and then you said went to white people versus black people.
That is one, right? And then they tried
to. But that didn't answer anything, so let's stay at the one.
Right. That's one reason why it couldn't work, because the people that got the money do not like the government that was in. Okay. They're holding back, and want to get rid of them, okay. right? And not only that, their own type kind. Mm-hmm. That I would say, like David Cormann, Sean, they're mm-hmm. messing up plans that could have worked to cause the economy, to put money in the economy, like the Hayat and so on, that he actually stopped.
So following this thought process, mm-hmm. then we would see a lot more buoyancy in the economy because white persons will spend more money, and then we will be back to growth beyond 3%.
I want to ask you this here now. Mm-hmm. What give the present prime minister so much hope now that she could actually give back the tuition fee, because she's saying when the jobs come, I know she's a prophet. She's saying the jobs can come, so she can put back the tuition fee and all these things, that put back the VAT at 15%. Cause she got some
you hear yourself.
Oh, are you trying to mock me now?
No, I think you need to manage how you say it.
Well, pardon me for not being too fluent, right? I'm not a fluent person.
You ain't gonna influence me. Just manage it, that's all.
Manage the sheet. Or so Miss Prime Minister then?
Yeah, that's decent, yes. You don't have to call her by phone
name. I realize something, right?
Motley, that's decent. All of those other things, but not just she consistently.
Okay, but I observed something though, right? The Barbados Labour Party Prime Minister get more respect than the Democratic one, because some people can't start to cuss the other Prime Minister.
No,
right?
you should never disrespect any leader.
Right.
Any leader.
I believe in disrespect, but yeah.
Were disrespectful. I'm just saying manage the she's, that's all.
But all I'm trying to say is, right, that we're really going through a homegrown program, and like Mr. Arthur said, it's like an IMF program already, but without the money. And I was following the Democratic Labour Party, what they were saying. It's quite regardless, it's the both sides. So, but they seem to have say that all they need is more time. But the people, all like the Hilton that they don't want to sell, all that they're getting blocked, right? They're trying to do things, and they couldn't do them, and they're getting prevent from doing them.
Okay, I don't agree with it. I'm going to let you wrap up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you wrap up. I like your thought process, but I'm not overly following it, not understanding everything you're saying.
But the reason, I can tell you, I can wrap up with the reason why you don't like the Barbers Their Party, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Barbers Their Party is not a type of parent that want their children to actually be independent. These freeness that you want to give them, go back to free, saying free intuition fee. You shouldn't be doing that.
The real question is, can you afford it? I think that should be the question asked of the Prime Minister. Can the country at this point afford it?
The Democratic Labour Party, they're trying to restructure the economy from that type of thing. So we can go backwards to the same thing. They can go and put the country back in debt. Like when Mr. Sandy Ford was in, if it was continue, we'd be better off, right?
Because
it's a start with Mr. Warren after. That's how we get back here again. And we can get back there again, right? Under this government.
Thanks for your contribution. We have a number of WhatsApps here. Someone wants to know our thoughts on the imminent IMF program, what it means for the country, what about the change of constitution to allow for two senators? Will the Senate have to debate this particular amendment? Can this be a reason why the opposition leader hasn't yet named a senator? Another question here about are we respecting the Barbados Labour Party over the Democratic Labour Party? And a couple more interesting questions, some of which can be answered, some of which have been already ventilated, already for the week, actually, as I have been told. Okay, this is Dr. Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Morning, sir.
Pleasant day. I listened to your first caller, and at least I disagreement most of the things you said. Ms. Gill, did you listen to the throne speech?
No, I was in training. I've been conducting training all week, so I missed it.
I'm so sorry. You
might have. I started too, but I didn't get to hear all of it. So I'm going to, over the weekend, I'll listen. There are a couple of things I have to review, and I have them scheduled to follow up on.
You must try to get it because it's the program of the government for this session of Parliament, 5 years. And several of the things that have been mentioned can be accomplished. Now, there's nothing that we can say at this time. When one refers to a colour situation, colour might be a situation, but suffering goes across the border, either white, Indian, black, or whatever. And if the people of the country were going through a transition period of what it shouldn't be, then obvious they're going to take bold steps as to correct that. So we've seen the people of Barbados, whether were white, blue, black, pink, or what, they've made a decision that somewhere along the line that they could not have continued with the state of government that was offered to them. Now, that's understood. Now, personally, I believe that somewhere along the line, when you talk about the situation with so many small business people over the last couple of years have been put out of work. Artisans have been put out of work. Carpenters have been put out of work. Electricians have been put out of work. Now, we had a situation in Barbados where several independent business people who 15 years ago, were able to employ people, were able to establish themselves as business people, entrepreneurs, were diminished over the last 10 years. So I don't know what the last caller, where he arrived at as far as that is concerned. We've seen a complete destruction of the labor force in Barbados within the last couple of years. But I don't want to harp on that. I want to ask some questions, and I want to say that I expect that this situation that has been given to us by Supreme Power, as far as the government is concerned, that we would live to see the transformation of the things that come out in that one speech. Now, there's certain things I want to ask, and I don't know. I hope you will not be put on the back burner. Some time back, we were discussing the natural gas agreement with Trinidad. And it was established that there is an agreement of $600 million that the Barbados government would have to pay the Trinidad government for the natural gas program to Barbados. I am asking that some clarification be given to this as far as that is concerned. There was also a situation, Ms. Gill, that we had a deficient agreement, and almost three ambassadors were appointed to the position of ambassador with interest of the deficient agreement between Trinidad and Barbados. I want to ask the question, what will become of that? Will we pursue that? Because they know long ago it was arbitration, as far as that is concerned, with the present prime minister and the borders as far as Barbados. So I want to know where it is that as these things are going to be put on the back burner. These are things that we need to know. I want to know if the situation with Four Seasons is going to be put on the back burner, because this was one that was told to us that was on its way. I want to know what's the true position as far as the heart is concerned. I'm dealing with my friend now from St. Philip. I'm showing him now that things can be accomplished if they're done the right way. So these are questions I'm asking. I'm certain that I'm not the only one who will be asking this question, because $600 million, we need to understand what has happened to that agreement. Because we heard the then Prime Minister established that it was a signed agreement, it was an agreement, whatever it may be, and as far as we're concerned, we were committed to importing natural gas from Trinidad. These are things that we need to be highlighting out. So it's not a matter of going to the IMF. It's a matter that a program will be put in place, because the former government gave us an impression that even if they had won back the government, that they would have had to go on to the IMF. So I don't think we need to talk about IMF. We need to talk about the program that has been put in place, or will be put in place by this present government, which will enable us. And we leave ourselves of things that we might figure might not be accomplished. Can I hear you on some of the things I've just mentioned?
In terms of natural gas, fishing agreement, Four Seasons, Hayat, those are some interesting things. I think the current administration has mentioned priority right now is fixing the sewage and trying to address the scenarios in the economy. They have also started talks with the unions. I see what the strategy is, one of the strategies, some of which I don't understand, but this particular one, which is very clear, is the importance of stakeholder relationships and building the social partnership and the capital of the social partnership to a place where it is more representative of what the country is beyond just public sector, government, and the unions, a move afoot to include the church and other non-governmental organizations. So, at this point, 2 weeks after elections, the issue with natural gas, the fishing agreement, Four Seasons and Hayat, I don't see them at being 1-5, given the state of the economy, given the impending possibility of an IMF program, given the restructuring and the reprofiling of the debt, and those other things which would take of paramount importance right now. I think that there are critical issues that will be dealt with, but there was some good work done as well by the past administration in terms of the fishing agreement under the auspices of the then ambassador, Bobby Morris. He did some work with Trinidad and moved. It was being dealt with through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade. And there was some good work done there. I don't know what the status is right now. There was actually one of my colleagues who was the legal person working with Barbados and Trinidad. So I need to get some more information, particularly on the two tourism projects, the Hyatt and the Four Seasons, to have a grasp as to where they are. But they are potential sources for good investment into Barbados. But I think there were some challenges with the Hyatt, as we all know. We spoke about it here and many other places. I think the interesting one here with the natural gas, I don't think the government was able to afford that bill. That government or this government would be able to afford that bill. There will have to, of course, be some terms in order to facilitate it, but it would be a good move given that there has been the movement. I think one of the good things that the Democratic Labour Party has done was to identify that Barbados would move towards becoming a green economy. The movement was supposed to be until 2020, and then that was extended until 2027. We had some challenges. I think the oil prices at the time went down, and then, the movement towards the green economy was not as attractive, or should I say not as urgent, subsequent to that. So where we are now with those prices trending upwards again, we have to probably revisit that as a country. But moving towards the green economy and facilitating natural gas, I think the two of them have to be able to coalesce at some point. But we are not going to move fully away from the use of fossil fuels, for sure. We will continue I think, in many years to come. But there is a move afoot. I'm sure you've heard about the 100% renewable Barbados, working in tandem with the Barbados Light and Power and Emera Caribbean. So you brought some good discussion, subjects to the fore, and I think that those are good discussions that we should continue to have. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. I have a WhatsApper here that says that Barbados will always be left behind if party supporters continue to rehash issues instead of looking at the future. They need to give the new government a chance to govern and let the country heal and the people unite and get to work. Interesting. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Am I on the air?
Sure.
Yeah, I first want to congratulate Prime Minister Motley and her new government.
Okay.
And I think that in all fairness, we need to give any new government, for that matter, Ms. Gill, time and a chance to work. Is that right? And I'm saying that we are looking for too much too soon, you know. On that last election, I examined it very carefully, and that was a strong message that was sent to the last government, this present government, and those who sought or want to govern in the future. That Barbadians are no longer accepting anything less than the best from our parliamentarians. We elect them, put them in office to serve us and do the people's business. And anything short of that, a similar result would go all over again. And there's some things that I was observing in the campaign that wasn't so nice or whatever. And I mostly reflect on that meeting in Waterford or out there on the pastor, the opening. And I am saying that meeting, and I have a problem with party supporters, diehards, whatever you want to call them. If you are around, Ms. Gill, I don't care who you are. You should be man enough or woman enough to say it. You are around. And Dennis have a saying that if you are my friend and I can't say that you are around, well, you don't seem to be my friend. And I thought that meeting over there was the last nail that was drove in the Democratic Labour Party's coffin. And to former Prime Minister Stewart, he needed some time to say in one speech he will explain this smartly. Well, I think he have a lot of explaining to do. He have to explain to his party and he also said he wanted to create history. So while he created history, he had to explain to his party why he, as the first Democratic Labour Party leader, caused them to lose St. John's seat. He had to explain why he, as the first Prime Minister of Barbados, lose an entire election. He might want to explain why he, as a Prime Minister, lose to a first-timer. You know, and these are some things that we have to examine. And it's all right to be a party fearful or diehard. But to Miss Undecided, I think Barbadians, unlike her, as I want to give her this message, Barbadians have definitely decided who they want to look after their affairs. I'm not going libelous. I ain't a whole fool. And to Miss Maureen Holder, she's an analyst. I respect her for that. She has to analyze now where her next paycheck is going to come from. So the first caller, who is known as Left Brain, I've been listening to Common Sense with it. I heard the Trinidadian lady yesterday. I haven't heard her since the election. And all these were persons that was banging the Barbados Labour Party. And now yesterday, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm subject to correct. She's expecting so much, you know. Oh, Miss Monty, have to do this, and Miss Monty, do that. And the cabinet is the biggest in the history of Barbados. And the England cost the government $1 million taxpayers. What about the millions of dollars that and highlight at this point in time. We need to be fair. We need to be fair. And also, I just want to say that despite our political affiliation, we all live here in Barbados. And if Barbados goes down, we all goes down with it. I don't know for you, Miss Gail, you might got a bunker somewhere else in the world that you could run and hide. But I have anywhere to go. If here goes down, and whoever is leading this country, and it is not going in the best of our interests, we have a right to express our desire or our fear of the vote. So I just want to say that to all those politicians that are in now and who planning to come, be very prepared and be aware, sorry, Barbadians are not taking this thing lightly anymore. And we cannot go on telling people about Grantley Adams and Errol Barrow. When my grandchildren, if I alive, get chance to vote, I can't go and tell them about Grantley Adams and Errol Barrow. I got to indicate to them they're the best place we want to go take this country and, you know, who, in my judgment, is best fitted. So I believe that we should give the new government a chance. In my own opinion, as I said, I think the cabinet is a little big, but I am the outside looking in. And I am no political guru, so I leave that to the political guru first. But I think we need to give them a chance. We were here for 10 years on the siege, and when you walk about the country, you feel as though that Barbados is in a 40-foot container locked inside, nothing is happening. And if change comes, at least give change a chance to work. So to all and sundry, give change a chance to work. You know?
Thank you, caller. Thank you so much. Give change a chance to work. I think he articulated himself well. A couple of persons I have spoken to post the election have kind of summed up exactly what this caller has articulated. So we'll see. I think I'm very conscious that there were 44,000 persons who voted for the Democratic Liberal Party, 4,000 that voted for the Solutions Barbados, just about 2,000 or so, a smaller number, I don't have the full figure, that voted for the UPP, and 11,000 that voted for the Barbados Liberal Party. Of course, there will be persons who are not in agreement with the, you know, the thinking of this existing administration for political reasons. And then also there are some people who, when they're not on your side, like persons who are not necessarily a LeBron fan, and therefore they don't want the Cavaliers to win, not even one game in this finals. I'm speaking with a very hurt heart here now. 3 games down, and I can't believe that LeBron didn't come home with one. But the point I'm making is that even if you disagree fundamentally with a process, and the process is about the end game, the big country, we still have to think that way and a bit allow them to run the course. If we do see after a couple months, give them 100 days, we always look at 100 days for a political party and see what actions have been taken, see if the promises in the campaign and in the manifestos, if the promises are being adhered to in some form or fashion, because we really bought into what was said on the campaign. We really bought into the new thinking. We wanted change, you know. And I'm speaking for a larger majority, not every single one. But let's wait and see, and also let's allow for suggestions. I think this opportunity here on Brass Tacks is for persons to share their views, whether opposing, dissenting, agreeing, or whatever. I think we need to give people a chance to have a different view. And I'm not in agreement, of course, with everything that everyone suggests, but it is always good to hear what people's perspectives are. I think that makes for good democracy. And this is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air. Can you hear us? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, madam.
Yes, sir.
I'll make my contribution very short. Okay. First of all, the last call you just had on, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As he said, about giving change a chance. No one has a problem with giving change a chance.
Giving change a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody has a problem with that, giving change a chance. But if you're going to come on the airwaves, everybody has a right to their opinion.
but do not, and he should not have been allowed to be personalizing when talking about the lady moderator, in this case, Maureen Holler. I felt, in my opinion, that you should have checked him there on that. Don't get personal. If you don't like a person, you don't like a person.
He didn't say that. He didn't like the lady moderator. Or did I miss something?
I heard him say just now.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him say just now. Mm-hmm. Oh, she is a... He knows she's a great analyzer. She has to analyze where she's going to get her next check. That's being personal. That's really none of his business, where she's going to get the next check. Because if somebody from the other side said mm-hmm. that about one of the moderators, had it gone the other way,
mm-hmm.
I am sure they would have been either cut off or they would have been interjected or they would have been crossed and they would have been checked about that. So it goes for both sides of the fence. It can't be one-sided.
I know Miss Holder.
What I'm trying to say to you, right?
I don't think it was personal, but I know Miss Holder, and I know that was not all Miss... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's not all Miss Holder was doing. So if he thought that was all Miss Holder was doing, Miss Holder is ably qualified in her varying fields, one of which is political science.
Yeah, and I hope you heard what you just said.
But I'm telling you that while we know all of this, his commentary was not in any way dismissive, neither was it... derogatory. He just simply made a comment.
Yeah, he made a comment. That part I don't think he should have made. But anyways, moving on swiftly. Now, they've gone to the IMF. All right? You said to give them 100 days, just like with the guy in the States, the Donald Trump. They gave him 100 days, and he's basically got America upside down on its neck.
In what way, if right? I may? Not a Trump supporter or fan, but in what way would you say the U.S. is upside down?
All the things that have been going on there, and I'm going to...
No, but you made a statement.
You see it in the news. All the corruption within his party, people being fired every minute. You understand?
To check I would suggest you manage your commentary as it relates to...
I'm
substantiated
saying,
commentary,
just,
please.
Yes, okay.
If you can't substantiate it, I would suggest you avoid it.
No, I'm just saying that to say this, all right? Now, Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley, made some very interesting proposals from their manifesto in their campaign. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you have yet to see if everything that she has said and that they all have been proposing will come true to fruition. We have yet to see that. So far, one of the things that we, the Democratic Labor Party, said that we told the people to avoid, to watch, has come true to fruition.
Which was?
The IMF has landed. And I am strongly against the IMF being about here, because if you go into introspect and you go to see how the actual mechanics of how the IMF really works, you understand?
Question for you. Let me question for you.
Wait, hold on a minute, ma'am. May I finish my point? Then I will answer your question.
You just said the IMF has damaged...
Yeah, damaged a lot of countries. Well, let me explain myself.
Right.
They have damaged a lot of countries.
And I want to interject. And while you tell me to hold on, I am interjecting. Barbados is a member, is a signatory to the IMF. Barbados is a member of the IMF. IMF has been coming to Barbados for a very long time. I, in my capacity as executive director of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce, have been to all of the meetings as part of the social partnership whenever they came, particularly for the Article 4 consultations. They also have been meeting with the Minister of Finance on several occasions. It is not a new thing for the IMF. Could you let me finish, please?
Go ahead.
It is not a new thing for the IMF to be coming to Barbados. Barbados has not yet entered into any particular agreement or program with the IMF to date. They have simply come and they have had talks with the social partners. So to suggest that they're in a program as yet and they said they were coming, it is erroneous. They've always been meeting with all of our government officials.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But she's introducing the idea. So in the mere fact that if I come, I may not have entered the idea, but the mere fact that I am introducing the idea, which means in the back part of my mind, I have already convinced myself, well, hey, we are in this big lot of debt, as she said. I don't know where she got that astronomical number from. You understand?
$2.7 billion.
Yeah, I don't know where she got that number from. But as she said, we are in this big lot of debt. And there must be this. But how there are so many unanswered questions here.
But didn't you listen to the former Minister of Finance, Minister Sinclair, when he did share with the government, with the country, the enormous debt that at that time that we were in?
Yeah, we were in that debt because of the former Barbados Labour Party, who had 14 years, ma'am, 14 years to change all of that. You would tell me that the government had 14 years, you know, 14 years of borrowing, 14 years of a lot of projects that they built, they started, never finished. Mm-hmm. They brought in foreigners to finish projects.
I enjoy and these type conversations. I'm aware that we are on air, and I would simply tell you that debt doesn't accumulate. So in other words, let's go back to 2008 in...
Yeah.
March, actually January, right, when the new government would have taken office.
Uh-huh.
The two figures are different. Subsequently, there have been, you know, there's something called debt servicing, and then there's debt. There's new debt, there's old debt that would have been serviced. As we all talk about the prisons and the other things, and we use a figure, different figures at different points in time.
No, they're different
but
figures because it's still...
Could you let me finish? I'm allowing you to speak, and I want you to also allow me to speak as well.
Uh-huh.
I'm simply saying that the country has always been in quite some debt. Yes, some debt that has been in existence before, but we continue to not be able to earn the requisite revenue in order to cover the existing debt, et cetera. The languaging is a little suggestive, and I don't want to appear to be representing either or. Well, it can always seem that way. You're entitled to your thought process, and I am mine as well. So that's fair. But I'll let you wrap up. Let me let you finish first, because we're not seeing necessarily... I'm hearing a vibe that is a little biased.
It is granted that you clearly have articulated that
you don't support the new administration's perspective of going to the IMF, and I hear you,
but your reasoning and your rationale, a lot of people don't support it.
Yeah, there are a lot of persons who don't support it. Actually, I thought that Barbados should have gone to the IMF in 2013, and I shared this thought process with the then Minister of Finance, that now that the new administration has been given a mandate by the 70-something odd thousand persons in Barbados at that time who voted for the Democratic Labour Party, that was the time for the country to get the requisite financing at a low rate.
And by
2015-16, we could have seen some changes based on the new program. You could have started to put some diversification in place.
What about the dangers of the dollar being devalued? Explain me that.
Also, leave it. Question for you then. Leave it. Don't do anything. And then still be in the devalued state that we are in right now. Because the $1 that you would spend in 2013 is not the $1 that you will spend now. But I digress. I thank you for your thoughts, sir. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. You are on the air. Actually, Dr. Brass Stacks.